Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Emerson Beery, and I am joined by Justin Bruni today. How you doing, my man?
Good, good. Happy Sunday. Doing well. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, you know, I usually complain, you know, about how I'm feeling, you know, after a bartending shift this early in the morning on Sundays. That's usually my typical intro, I'm sure, you know, if I go back and listen to them all. But today I'm going to, I took a knife to the leg this week. I actually was carried out of the bar on the stretcher this week. You know, it was a little bit of a wild event. One of my crazier restaurant stories was dropping some plates, and I was trying to catch the plates up against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, I ended up, the only thing I ended up catching was the knife in my leg. So It was one of the steak knives, serrated steak knives. So I couldn't get it out. I tried to pull it out. Nope. That wasn't coming. So the ambulance had to come and everything. Went to the emergency room.
That's an operation, man. That's take answering the call of duty to the next level. I don't hate it. You're feeling good now? After taking a knife to the leg?
Yes, I am feeling good. I'm getting around a little bit slow, but I'm moving around. I've been working the last couple of days. I only took one day off of work and I'm back to it. So
you're not like Ricky Bobby. You will walk again, or you have walked again.
I was texting everybody and that's all I got back. You know, I was just like, you know, all was Ricky Bobby gifts, you know, him just yelling in the air, him stabbing himself, like, oh, then freaking out. So That's been my life this week. I've been limping tough around, struggling.
That's a week. I've had a rough week with car dealerships. I won't dive too far into that, but it sounds like we're in a good place to end our week. We're in a good spot. We're talking football. We're talking fantasy. It's always a good thing.
Absolutely. Here we go. And before we get started on some rookie landing spots, I just want to give a quick shout out to our friends over at WynnBET. The sports gambling podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. The entire Saturday sweat out your bets and win prizes with Ryan, Sean, and Colby over on YouTube.com/Sports Gambling Podcast. All right. So, you know, the rookie draft is just right around the corner for most people. You know, I start all of mine on the Monday after the draft, at least all the 12 leagues that I commission. And, you know, some of them are float around there. All of them are after the NFL draft. So I do not envy the people who, you know, do you have any rookie drafts before the NFL draft actually starts?
No, I have zero. That's taking things to be a little bit more aggressive. And there's so many things that are going to change. You know, we all love Breece Hall, but Kenneth Walker still finished with the best running back stats last year for rookies. You know, it's tough.
You know, unless you're like an advanced, you know, unless you guys are real play, you know, everyone's advanced. I just don't see the necessary, you know, necessity of taking advantage of somebody. You know, I like to consider myself plugged in, but you know, there are a lot of people that aren't paying attention, particularly as much as time. Your landing spot's going to crash so many of these things. I'd just rather not take the risk. Have everybody with a full slate of information. I start at like the Monday after the NFL draft, though, so there's not a lot of time to process that information. So,
Getting if you know ahead. you're in if you know you're in leagues with people that are sharps like yourself that are plugged in, I think that's totally appropriate. But I think it should be fun. And, you know, this is more fun. It's more fun to do it after the landing spots for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there was times Hakeem Butler got I've seen him. I saw him go number one in the February rookie draft. And then, you know, he ends up being a sixth, seventh round pick. So that's how it goes.
It's terrible. It's awful.
Well, we'll dive into Bijan Robinson here. Mm-hmm. Landing spots for, you know, I projected him to go, you know, somewhere, I don't know how you think about this, somewhere in that 15 to 25 range. So some of the better landing spots that I had for him, Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints, and Cincinnati Bengals, all with strong incumbent starters, but all guys toward the end of their career, all guys, you know, they could possibly be moved on from this offseason. Well, not Tony Pollard necessarily. Tony Pollard would be there until next year. But Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon on the way out a little bit. I would love, you know, although maybe, you know, either of these guys might be playing a little bit beside him the first year, I think, the, you know, going into 2024, these would all be just fantastic landing spots, run heavy offenses behind good offensive lines.
Yeah, so you said the Bengals, the Saints, and the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, Saints like and Cowboys, the run heavy ones at least.
Yeah, I definitely like the Cowboys, obviously, with Ezekiel Elliott moving on, and the only move they've made so far is Ronald Jones. So, yeah, I think that would be a very appropriate move. I would like that. I did have another running back landing in Dallas a little bit later, but I think Bijan would be a good spot for him, or Dallas would be a good spot. They're going to be a very pass-heavy offense. My assumption would be he would catch a lot of passes in that offense alongside Tony Pollard, who would still be coming back from injury. The Bengals are also interesting. It sounds like as every day passes, it's more and more clear that Joe Mixon will most likely not be a Bengal this upcoming season, which was a bit of a surprise, it feels like, but I feel like as the days go on, it will feel more like normalized behavior or anticipation. So that's a decent one. I've also seen them shopping around for a released Zeke Elliott potentially. So Bijan, I think, would be a much better upgrade, we'll say, you know, for that offense, you know, thinking about Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Bijan, Joe Burrow, that would be absolutely insane. I had a little bit of an earlier ADP. So I went like Falcons, Bears, Eagles in the top 10. So I got things, you know, kicking off the draft with a little bit more fireworks. But I did circle some names after that in the later rounds, like the Cowboys. I did have them at 26, potentially taking him if he doesn't go earlier. And also the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers have been rumored to him at 19. That kind of fit in that mold of yours as well, that 15 to 19 range. Falcons, Bears, and Eagles, I feel like they have a need at the top of the draft. But again, it feels very rich. Like, are these NFL GMs grading Bijan Robinson like an Adrian Peterson, who was drafted, I think, number 7 or number 8? I can't quite, you know, off the top of my head, I don't remember. But if they're, you know, gauging him at that level, then I certainly think that the Falcons, Bears, and Eagles are on the table. You have the Bears and the Eagles, two of the best rushing teams from last season. And then I feel like the Falcons just have an incredible need. I like Tyler Allgeier, but Bijan Robinson would be a huge, huge upgrade.
Yeah, that would be a lot in the Bears backfield. You know, I've told you why I don't, you know, I'll give you the same reason. If I was the Bears, I wouldn't draft Bijan Robinson for the same reason I was telling you I wouldn't sign Saquon Barkley if I was the Bears. It's because you have such a talented runner back there in Justin Fields already. Mm-hmm. You know, you are really dedicating so much of your offense to rushing the football. And it's in today's NFL, where it's a little bit more of a passing league. I'm not saying you can't be a run heavy team in today's NFL, but, you know, having, you know, Bijan Robinson, having Justin Fields back there, you know, it's definitely going to be, you know, I feel like, you know, the pass attempts, you know, going to be a little bit few and far between, probably sub, you know, 25 to 30 attempts a game for sure. So, you know, I just wonder if that works in today's NFL necessarily. You know, obviously we saw the Tennessee Titans kind of operate that to a certain extent a couple of years ago, that really rush heavy offense. But, you know, Ryan Tannehill's, you know, a little bit more of an advanced passer at this stage than Justin Fields is, but we'll see. Finally got DJ Moore for him, but I won't dive into that tangent. But, yeah, you know, I actually had Tampa Bay as a bad landing spot, and I'll tell you why in a second. But, yeah, I it'll be interesting to see where he goes in the draft. You know, top 10 is certainly a possibility. We'll see. You know, I guess I was, like, thinking what NFL teams should do, considering it's the running back position. But, you know, it's Bijan Robinson, so we could certainly see him go top 10 for sure. Some of these poor landing spots I had included Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Washington Commanders. And I just didn't love the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just because, you know, I feel like, you know, the offense is kind of – on its way downhill a little bit. You know, if they end up selecting a running back in the first round, you know, I just don't know where they slot in that NFC South, even in a poor NFC South. So, you know, it'd be Kyle Trask Baker Mayfield trying to force the ball out on the outside to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You know, it's a lot of playmakers on the outside for just having a quarterback like Baker Mayfield who, you know, it just seems like when you have a quarterback like that, no matter how effective, you know, your skill position players are, you'd have Bijan Robinson and two of the best wide receivers in the NFL. It still wouldn't move, and it would just kind of create a target kind of hog situation, or, you know, there's just not enough of the ball to go around. So, you know, that's just kind of my worry about there. You know, without Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, you know, that would be worth. But even with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, I don't love the Baltimore Ravens presence of J.K. Dobbins and a rushing quarterback already. That's why I wouldn't love the Bears necessarily either for Bijan Robinson's fantasy value. That is. And then the Washington Commanders, just kind of that lackluster, unexciting offense, you know, with likely, say, you know, either Sam Howell or who did they just sign?
Jacoby Brissett.
Brissett as well. One of those two starting. So that you know, that's just not an exciting offensive situation for me. Brian Robinson is there as well. Probably
it's just crowded. It's, you know, they have Brian Robinson. They have Antonio Gibson. I mean, a bad landing spot for him is anywhere where there's already an established run game. You know,
yeah.
And, I wouldn't want to see him go to Green Bay. I don't think that's a good idea. It's certainly on brand for the Packers, but it's not going to make a great fantasy football. I'll tell you that.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to see him go anywhere where there's established running backs.
Is he your dynasty RB1 already?
Dynasty, yeah. I mean, it's tough with CMC already getting up there in age. I mean, he's already tracked on a lot of miles. If you're playing the long game, yeah, that's the way to go.
Okay, so is there any landing spot that would push you off of that? That would, like, any place he goes where he's not the dynasty RB1?
Again, it's just anywhere where there's a crowded backfield. You know, if he goes. Yeah, if he goes to the Browns, you know, if they're like, all right, no Kareem Hunt, no Dearness Johnson, we'll bring in Bijan behind Nick Chubb and, you know, let them just, you know, be a dual attack. And they've done that before. That would not be ideal, right? Like, that would not be fun. If I saw him go to the Patriots, ouch, Jesus Christ, that'd be awful. Ramondre Stevenson, okay. Bijan, they just added Dame Harris. Like, it would be super annoying, you know? So it just anywhere where there's a crowded situation. Yeah, it's not going to be fun for fantasy. I don't know if those, honestly, I still don't know if those options would make me move off of him at 101. It's just very exciting. You're obviously getting all the fresh legs and miles to come. And again, these CMC and Eckler, who are typically going at the top, they've got a lot more miles on them, a lot more touches. Jonathan Taylor still there, but coming off an injury, that's tougher to trust. So right now it's a kind of a precarious situation at the top of the running back board for Dynasty.
For me, nothing would push me off of Bijan as my dynasty RB1, but there is some small fluctuation. Like I said, next up here, I have Anthony Richardson. I had his draft range from, you know, anywhere from like 3 to 15, really. So my best landing spots involved him not playing right away necessarily. So Seattle Seahawks, Detroit Lions, and Atlanta Falcons. You know, Seattle and Detroit coming off of successful seasons. But, you know, are they going to draft this high again? You know what I mean? So they have early draft picks, but very good teams. You know, so, you know, they're going to be pushing for the playoffs this year. So if they're looking at years down the line of being drafting in the top 10 again, would they go with a quarterback, considering that Jared Goff and Geno Smith aren't very high ceiling quarterbacks? We've seen them for a long time. There's probably not an all pro season coming, at least. So we know that from them, but, you know, they are probably likely happy with their quarterback situation. He could sit on the bench this season. Atlanta Falcons, not quite as an established starter, but Desmond Ridder could very well play week 1. And then you would still have Drake London and Kyle Pitts there. You know, I think there's some exciting weapons on this team. I would love any of those landing spots. You know, do you have any favorites in the top 10? How do you feel about those?
For Richardson, I just feel like it's going to be very hard for him to fall out of that 2 or 4 spot. You know, the Texans and the Colts are just so hungry for the position. I mean, the way things are right now, it's March 26th. We're about a month and a couple of days away from the draft. It feels like those guys are going to move forward with one of these younger quarterbacks. The market's pretty well shaken out at the quarterback position right now, you know, in free agency, trade market. Obviously, Carson Wentz isn't going to either of these teams. So it feels like Richardson's going to either go at 2 or he's going to go at 4. I have him down at 2 to Houston. I just feel like bringing in Bryce Young into Houston is going to be a complete shit show. I don't know who he's going to pass to other than maybe Dalton Schultz and these running backs. He'll be running for his life. It'll be, you know, Baltimore, but, you know, Baltimore from like Lamar's rookie season, but not even close to that as far as logistics wise. Like, they don't have the same type of play calling in place. The skill positions are completely down. Robert Woods, Nico Collins, John Metchie. Didn't they sign someone else?
Yeah, they did sign someone else. I'm trying to think of who it is.
And another receiver. Yeah. And another receiver. Noah Brown. Noah Brown? Yeah. Like, they brought in Devin Singletary. They still have Damian Pierce. That feels like a team that will run the ball a lot. And because Richardson still has that big arm of his, I feel like he can still give you that same type of plus running upside that Bryce Young will give you, but still be a worthwhile project, I suppose. And I feel like he would start over Davis Mills. But the NFL, they clearly have an admiration for Bryce Young. He could go two, and you could see Richardson go four to the Colts. I like Young a little bit more on the Colts just because I feel like his run game can, you know, go can be tailored alongside Jonathan Taylor's run game a little bit. You know, they can kind of, you know, combine both of those strengths that they have and, you know, kind of balance that out with more than likely a lesser passing attack than what people are maybe assuming Bryce Young is going to bring to the NFL.
You know, it's an interesting thought. You know, I wouldn't love that for Houston, actually. You know, I had kind of a different look toward it just because of the lack of weapons on the outside. I don't know. I don't think you'd want Anthony Richardson to go somewhere like Houston and try to develop as a passer in that offense. He's, you know, just being how raw of a passer he is, you know, this is kind of like Justin Fields last. This is exactly like Justin Fields last year. You know what I mean? Asking Justin Fields to I don't feel like that was fair last year. Asking mm-hmm. Justin Fields to develop as a passer, throwing to Brian Pringle and, you know, all these guys. So I just feel like that's exactly what Anthony Richardson would be walking into, but he's even less developed as a passer than Justin Fields is. Right. So, I mean, it would be a little bit rough for him to start off with. So I would be more comfortable with him going a better offense. I would actually prefer, you know, if I'm the Houston Texans, even though I think Bryce Young's a huge risk at his size, just, you know, just being such a massive outlier, I would, you know, Bryce Young actually makes a little bit more sense to me just because, you know, I think he can function, you know, in a passing offense already. Now, his durability might not hold up. That's very well could be.
That's what I was going to get into, because as a Bears fan, I watched Justin Fields absolutely get his ass handed to him this season, and he is much more of an athlete than Bryce Young is, strength, size wise.
Well, it's not even close.
He was killed, dude. He was murdered. He was taking 5 to 7 seconds almost after every sack to get up. If you have Bryce Young in that type of backfield. And again, like you had just said, like, you don't want Richardson coming in there. If you're a quarterback, you're not going to develop much of a pass, your arm, if you will, in that offense, right? Those types of receivers, a low A-dot tight end in Dalton Schultz, nobody that's going to break open the field. Maybe John Metchie's a wild card, whatever. But you're going to be thrown to the tight end and your running backs quite a bit, right? So, but all that being said, like, if Bryce Young is running for his life, he's going to have to just take – like his own sacks. Like, he's just going to have to like go down and give himself the Kyler Murray treatment and slide behind the goal line. Like, I just don't know how that's going to work. Like, and if he's running for his life on a Texans offense, his shelf life, you know, could be detrimental.
You know, where I think there's a couple differences. I think Houston's offensive line's a little better at this stage going into this season than Chicago's was last year. And mm-hmm. I think Bryce Young's a little bit further along as a passer than Justin Fields. So I think you might be able to ask him to make some quicker reads, you know, just some quick read throws. So, you know, I think there could be a lot of difficulties and he just might not be able to hold up at the NFL. But I think his passing ability could, you know, facilitate a little bit more offense. He's not as raw of a passer as certainly as Anthony Richardson. And I think this is why we're drafting him. You know, he's such an electric arm talent, Bryce Young, that we're willing to draft this 5'10 guy who's 190 pounds. So, you know,
I don't know, man. I don't see it. A lot of the big play, a lot of the big arm throws that I've seen him make, I just don't know if they translate to the next level. I really don't. I feel like a lot of these big arm plays that he's made, checking out his highlight tapes, I feel like a lot of these plays are just interceptions and then at the next level. Like, that's just how I feel.
You know, I think there's a lot of, you know, he's CJ Stroud, certainly my number one. And I think it's a toss up after that for me, but, you know, for Houston, you know, I think, man, I just would hate it for, you know, I guess we'll dive into those bad landing spots. I don't know if I had Houston for Anthony Richardson, just cause I'm so assuming that they're going to take, Bryce Young, but it could
happen. Again, for me, my bad landing spots are places where he's not going to start, because I'm, I'm using a top pick in my rookie draft. I want somebody that's going to be able to go out there and give me starts, because if I'm drafting with that type of priority, I need a quarterback. I probably need somebody that's going to be able to like at least get me a start week in and week out. And if not, then I might as well be packing up for another top five pick in Dynasty again.
I do think, you know, you almost have to position, you know, almost one pick's never just going to save you. So you almost have to position yourself in a lot of other areas. And that's what I do, at least when I even have early picks. So usually my team's coming together. So, you know, hopefully that's what a lot of teams are doing. You know, they have a lot of young pieces that were developing last year, and it's not just this one piece that's going to drive them up. But, you know, I just think asking Anthony Richardson, you know, to come in right away, I just don't know if that's good for his long-term value. If that's good for this season, but I don't know if Anthony Richardson's going to be starting three or four seasons from now.
Would you say the same thing about Bryce Young though? Like, is he going to come in and he's going to start day one for an NFL team?
I think he's a capable enough passer. Absolutely. I think it's just a question of whether or not he can hold up. If he was 6'3" or 6'4", I think Bryce Young would be the unquestioned number one. It wouldn't, you know, he'd be, whether you take a Bijan Robinson or Bryce Young at the 1-1.
And that's the other thing too, with his whole, like his pro day, like he's like, oh, I'm going to throw today, but I'm not going to weigh in. Like the guy, like there's this,
he's
whole,
190
like,
pounds.
I understand that. So just weigh in, let the numbers be what they are, man. Like No, I can't do that. I can't actually show you how much I weigh because then no one's going to draft me.
You laugh. You laugh. The NFL is going to – it affects his draft stock. You laugh, but, like, it's crazy. The NFL thinks this way. So that's why these guys play all these weight games, and it sounds silly, but I actually understand it because the NFL, they're going to let it affect them.
If you're good, you'll just be good. Like, okay, so he weighs 10 pounds less. Does he go 8 picks less than what he should? The fact of the matter is the Colts and the Texans need a quarterback. I don't think his weight's going to matter. If they think he's that good, he'll just be drafted.
Like, yeah, I'm just telling you, you know, that 204, you know, it's subconscious. It's subconscious. They'll see that 204 on the official sheet, and they'll be like, all right, two picks, two's fine. You know what I mean? It's all subconscious. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting nonetheless. I'm very excited to see where these quarterbacks shake out and everything. So, but I think some of the bad landing spots I have for Anthony Richardson were the Tennessee Titans, New England Patriots, and Washington Commanders. And, you know, these are offenses where I feel like, you know, this is where Anthony Richardson has to elevate the offense. And I don't want him to have to do that right away. You know, I want him to be able to depend on some good outside receivers, you know. Well, obviously, the Commanders do actually have some talent on that team, but I just don't, you know, moving on possibly to a new head coach after this season, you know, it's hard to picture Anthony Richardson coming in there and saving that team. So, you know, just kind of a little bit of a mess right now. I know Eric Bieniemy is there, so that could end up turning into a solid landing spot, but it's particularly the New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans. I just think, you know, this kind of a meh offense is trying to ask him to elevate those. That's not for me. Have any other least favorite landing spots for you?
You know, somewhere like the Cowboys, you know, if they decided they wanted a backup Dak or something like that, just somewhere where it's just clear, like this dude is not getting on the field this season. What's another one? The Vikings, you know, I don't know if they really love Keelan Mond. They've talked, definitely. There's been discussions about moving on from Kirk Cousins. Never feels like it's a now conversation. It always feels like they're kind of like getting that plan in line. Yeah. Just somewhere where I know he's not going to play.
All right. Yeah. The Minnesota Vikings, later on in the draft. You know, I don't picture neither of those teams necessarily probably investing in a round one quarterback. But if they did, I actually would love those. I told you, I love these spots where he would get to develop behind a passer for a little bit.
Well, I honestly think that's the best opportunity for any of these young quarterbacks other than Stroud. I mean, he's the only guy that I think that we just like have full trust in coming in day one that he's just going to be like, okay, yeah. He could be later QB2 or, you know, potentially be a riser in that space.
We'll see. Like I said, I think Bryce Young's there, but like I said, I think he might just end up folding just because Doug Flutie was the closest comparison I could find for Bryce Young. And we know he wasn't
the fantasy quarterback. Comps that ever, like, you know, when you're watching the pro days and stuff, they're talking Russ Wilson, they're talking Drew Brees. That's the top of the echelon for his profile and size.
Russell Wilson's a lot thicker than Bryce Young, and so
I don't know if he was when he came in though. Like I know he was smaller. He had bigger arms. I know he's always had like really big arms, but his size though, just like his height,
Just his height. That's the only similarity. Russell Wilson does have significant weight even coming into the NFL on Bryce Young. And Kyler Murray is the same thing. A lot thicker player. Mm-hmm. And that's why that didn't necessarily. And they're a lot more athletic. Just as far as dual threat. Getting rushing yards. Projected in the NFL.
When I talk to people about Bryce Young, the feeling that I get is that, oh, he's Lamar, Doug Flutie, Andrew Brees. Like, he's all of these guys. He's Justin Fields, he's Lamar, he's, you know, Justin Herbert. Like, guys, like, I don't see it. Like, I'm sorry, like, you know, he was a great college player. Like, let's not get confused about that. He can run. Dude's got some fucking feet. Like, he's got speed to him. But we've only seen that type of quarterback play, you know, produce in shorter windows, at least in this NFL right now. We've seen Lamar get hurt. We've seen Kyler get hurt. Heck, we've even seen Russell Wilson get hurt as of recently. You know what I mean? Like, it's a violent game.
He's not anywhere near those guys as rusher. You know, he's not going to translate that to the NFL. He's not going to be running the ball. He's a chain mover in the NFL.
I think that's the perception, though. I really do. And most people that I talk to, they think that he's going to be that run first type of prototype.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't think that's the case. You know, being his size anyway, you know, I don't think he's going to be rushing. He might be a chain mover downfield, you know, when there's an open lane, but I think he's going to be sitting back there in the pocket, maybe extending it a little bit. I don't see him, you know, necessarily translating significant rushing volume into the NFL. So that's just my opinion. You know, I know, you know, in college, he looks a little bit different.
Run for his life.
But he's just not that kind of athlete either. You know what I mean? He's an impressive passer. That's what Bryce Young is, and that's why we're drafting him that early. So we'll see what happens for him. I guess I really haven't even almost broached too many more. But, you know, if Houston ends up going to Anthony Richards, that opens up endless possibilities. But we'll jump into the next one here. Jahmyr Gibbs, Alabama. Actually, you know what? We'll go with Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, I was going to do Will Levis because we were doing quarterbacks. Well, we'll dive into Jahmyr Gibbs here. Expected draft range 25 to 45. You know, that was my opinion. I see him slipping into that late first round either, or the first 15 picks of the second round. And I loved the Atlanta Falcons, the Miami Dolphins, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, you know, asking, you know, him sliding in with some talent around him on the outside, you know, allows him to, you know, kind of slip into that pass catching role. I would love it. You know, Miami, Cincinnati, high powered offenses. I couldn't imagine trying to defend him with those wide receivers on the outside. Atlanta Falcons, you know, Arthur Smith is going to want to run the ball heavily. There's room for Tyler Algier to kind of take that kind of brunt of that heavy workload up the middle. And then Jahmyr Gibbs to have pretty much a full workload, for, you know, working in that Atlanta offense too. So how do you feel about those? Do you have any picks in that range, or do you see him sliding out of that?
All of those landing spots. The only other one I'll throw on there was Dallas. I think they're picking at 25 or 26, so they definitely fit in that range.
I thought he was too similar to Pollard was the only reason I didn't slide him in there.
I just think they just need another guy there. So yeah. I think if they miss on Bijan, I do think that they could take the best rookie running back off the board in their opinion. And I still think that's glaringly Jahmyr Gibbs. And again, it's all going to just depend on, you know, if Bijan's off the board, obviously, if he's still there, I think we would both assume that they would take him. But Dallas and Miami were my top two spots. So those are the ones that I had written down. I also like the Bengals. I think, you know, like you had said, just two high powered offenses. He's going to fit right in where he can catch passes, you know, be a weapon in the backfield. And I still think he would get some decent red zone usage even in those teams, just because they have, you know, well, at least Miami, like they're never going to give you that rhyme or reason who's going to be touching the ball with consistency, bringing back Mostert, bringing back Wilson. I think we all expect them to draft at least one running back. Maybe it's Gibbs. But I think that he would still have like red zone usage, even though in those offenses, just because, you know, they're going to try to confuse some defenses. I think he has a good profile that where he can mix into both the running and the passing game. So don't be surprised if he gets a good amount of rookie red zone usage this year.
Yeah, you know, I love all those things you said. And yeah, you know, I don't necessarily – his size, I don't think it's going to prevent him from, you know, running the ball up the middle or anything like that. I just don't know how many – you know, I just think he's not going to get that 20-plus carries a game. That's the only spot I think about Jahmyr Gibbs. But before I dive into some bad landing spots, I'm going to give one more shout-out to our friends over at WynnBET. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for the WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout. And March Madness is here as well. So many ways to bet on the big dance. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100, limited to state availability. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WinBet app. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 20 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at Stadium Swim and watch the biggest golf tournaments in the world? You can win a three-night stay at Circa Las Vegas to hang out with the guys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golfparty. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room using promo code SGP15. The Final Four watch party is going virtual. Hang out with the guys on their YouTube channel for the entire Saturday of Final Four action, live bets, prize giveaways, and much more. Subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast and tune in on Saturday. All right. So some of the poor landing spots I had for Jahmyr Gibbs here. Pull them up my screen. So that I had the Los Angeles Rams in the early second. Mm-hmm. I had the Commanders in the second round and the Houston Texans in their early second round as well.
Yeah.
I just, you know, those are all second round picks, you know, kind of in those top 15, top 20 picks there. And I just, you know, I just wouldn't love him sliding into these kind of these not great offensive situations with a running back already there, you know, not an established running back. I feel like all these teams are a candidate to probably add a running back in the draft. You just wouldn't like to see what Jahmyr Gibbs this early, you know, sharing a backfield with Brian Robinson. You have Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson on the outside. That's a crowded team with not, you know, just not a lot. You know, you don't expect Sam Howell or Jacoby Brissett to elevate these offenses. Houston Texans, Damian Pierce, bad offense. So, you know, how do you feel about those? Do you have any other bad landing spots for Jahmyr Gibbs?
Doug Peterson in Jacksonville has mentioned that they want to draft another running back. I think that that would not be excellent for his fantasy value. They just added Dearness Johnson. Obviously, they have Travis Etienne. They re-signed Jamichael Hasty to an extension. Don't think that would be ideal. Again, just anywhere where there's crowded space. That Houston one really struck a nerve when you brought them up. They have Damian Pierce. They have Devin Singletary now. Obviously, wouldn't be ideal. Maybe the Steelers. I mean, you know, they already have Najee Harris. It seems like they like Jaylen Warren. Again, just anywhere where the situation is going to be crowded. You had mentioned the Saints is a good landing spot for who was it? It was another running back. Was it Bijan?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be tough for me just be adding Jamal Williams. I feel like he's going to get a lot of red zone usage there. So yeah, again, anywhere where there's going to be a three-headed monster running situation, again, the Packers are another very good example because it always feels like they will draft a running back for the fun of it. Although Aaron won't be there maybe for the draft, so maybe they'll let some of the shade picks you know go a little bit later in the draft.
That's gonna be so funny if Aaron Rodgers to the Jets doesn't happen.
That's
a whole nother topic.
Please. I mean, as a Bears fan, I of course want it to happen. I don't want to keep playing up against Aaron Rodgers in the division, but I just think it would be the most Packers Aaron Rodgers thing if it didn't happen. It would be fantastic.
And then New York Jets have Randall Cobb and Alan Lazard and all these guys.
Oh yeah, and then Aaron Rodgers retires.
Please. That'd be too funny.
After they draft Will Levis with their first pick.
That would be epic. I love the Packers. They're just and they're perfect for Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? Just this whole mess. I love it. Next up here, we have Will Levis, quarterback from Kentucky. I had his draft range from anywhere from 5 to 15. I guess I should call I guess the Indianapolis Colts very well could take him at 4. So that's another possibility. So I should say 4 to 15. Best landing spots I had for him were the Atlanta Falcons, Detroit Lions, and the Indianapolis Colts. Atlanta and Detroit have some very attractive offensive pieces on them. You know, a lot of talent. Drake London, Kyle Pitts. You know, Detroit Lions have Jamison Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Great backfield, great offensive line. Indianapolis Colts is interesting too. Shane Steichen? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Used to work for the Eagles. That's the guy.
Used to work for the Eagles. The offensive coordinator last year for the Eagles. So. Operating, you know, with Jalen Hurts, Will Levis has a lot of dual threat ability, not anywhere near as much as Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a big-bodied guy who can run the ball, runs over people kind of like Josh Allen-esque, not necessarily that level rusher. But, you know, he is going to bring some of that upside to the NFL. So I would be interested to see what he could do in Indianapolis as well. And some of my poor landing spots were the Tennessee Titans and Las Vegas Raiders. I just wouldn't like the Raiders just because – of the fact that Josh McDaniels could end up getting canned this season, and the Tennessee Titans just don't have a lot of offensive talent around him to help him develop as a passer. What are some of your thoughts on his landing spots and favorite spots, least favorite?
I think favorite would probably be the Buccaneers, because I could see that working. I could see him coming in and potentially beating Trask or Baker Mayfield for the job. Good spot where I think he could be a backup would be the Seahawks. You had mentioned, I think, that for another one of the quarterbacks earlier, Anthony Richardson. I feel like he would fit well in that system. I love his deep ball. The guy can drive it down the field. I think he would be a good match with DK. And like you had mentioned, a runner. He can run, but he's not a run-first quarterback. I think that would fit well with their system. They don't ask the quarterback to run a lot, but they do run a lot of play action and do have a lot of deceitful play calling. So Seahawks and Buccaneers would be my top two spots for him.
I like those spots as well. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, if somebody like him, if he could end up like reaching his upside, that is dangerous. All of a sudden Tampa Bay becomes an electric spot again. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin wheels up.
It's not like there's a lot of competition in the division. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can get one of these guys that you think can come in right now and make a difference, or at least just come in and compete, I think that Will Levis can compete with Trask and Baker Mayfield for the job. Like, I think it would be a close race.
Yeah, I think Will Levis has, he has a lot more upside than either of those passers do. And, I compare him to Zach Wilson. I think he can make every throw, very athletic, and Zach Wilson didn't work out. That's the risk, and they have those type of guys with those kind of profiles, guys who can have all the tools in the world, can make every throw, just kind of slow processing, needs to develop as a passer a little bit more. Those guys, sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. Will Levis, just based on, the odds, how we've seen quarterbacks pass, more than likely not going to work out, but the upside is there. He has even top five fantasy quarterback upside. That he's what he might be has more. He has more upside as a passer than anyone in this draft even. But is he going to get there? That's the biggest question. That's why he's the quarterback four in the draft, because he's such a big risk. So next one up here, I believe I have Jaxon Smith-Njigba as my next guy up. Yeah. So some places I had his draft range from like 10 to 20. And that's kind of where I saw him fitting in. So my it's relative, these good and bad landing spots. So whereas Houston and New England were bad landing spots for a lot of guys, there's just not a lot of great ones. So, I actually had those as good landing spots for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think his skill set can develop into a top wide receiver target for these teams. I wouldn't say this is a great landing spot for some of the other receivers in this draft who, might need to play off another wide receiver one. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba can be that guy. There might be some growing pains being the top target already in both of these offenses, but I think, he could develop, he can develop into these top target for Mac Jones, for Bryce Young or Anthony Richardson, as you were saying. So, like I said, if there's just not a lot of places I loved in that 10 to 20 range where I projected him going, thinking it's a great landing spot, but those are some of my favorite where you could step in and probably get a good amount of targets right away.
So playing the homer card, I do have the Bears. It may not be the most sexy landing spot, albeit it's not going to be a pass first team, right? But I did put him or Bijan at 9. It feels like the Bears moving back from number 1, they may deprioritize defense a little bit more. I feel like if they wanted defense, they would have just kept that top pick, probably taken Will Anderson. So I have the Bears first, of course. Being a little bit more practical, I could see him going to maybe the Titans or Green Bay. I think that they're still just very hungry at the position. Titans have Treylon Burks. They just let go of Robert Woods, and that's it. So I feel like that's definitely a position of target for them. Not a great landing spot because you have Ryan Tannehill there, but I think a great spot for them to just kind of build on that opportunity. Treylon Burks moving on with JSN down the line as Derrick Henry maybe closes out his time in Tennessee in either at the end of this season or next. And I think that would be a good transition group to move forward with. And then Green Bay, I just think that they're going to need somebody other than Christian Watson. I'm not a big advocate of Romeo Doubs. They obviously already have an established running game. If they are going to move forward with Jordan Love, I think it's probably appropriate to go out and shop for another weapon for the young man because he's going to need a lot of help. So Titans and Green Bay, if I'm not playing the homer card.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny. That's going to lead me perfectly. Your segue is going to lead me perfectly into my bad landing spots. I have Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, and Tennessee Titans all bad landing spots. So perfect. I love that. So I had them all as bad landing spots because, yeah, Chicago Bears, low volume passing offense. DJ Moore's the top target. I just don't see a big, you know, that's great for the Chicago Bears. That would be wheels up for Justin Fields. Not great for Jackson Smith and Jigba's fantasy value. Green Bay Packers, I just don't think Jordan Love can sustain two fantasy consistent fantasy relevant wide receivers with Christian Watson already there. And same thing with Tennessee. I just don't think there's a there's just not enough in that pass game for Treylon Burks and JSN to succeed. So, you know, obviously JSN can has the talent profile to get, you know, be the top target over Christian Watson, over Treylon Burks, but it just remained to be seen, and they have a year up on him. So those wouldn't be my favorite spots for him. But next up I have Jordan Addison. I had his draft range anywhere from 15 to 30, a little bit larger. So some of my favorite spots kind of in that early 20s, Los Angeles Chargers, Buffalo Bills a little bit later on, and the New York Giants.
Oh, the Bills.
Least favorite spots, Green Bay Packers and the Baltimore Ravens. I would love to see him slot in next to a top wide receiver like Stephon Diggs or Keenan Allen or somebody like that, where, you know, he could use some of the, that short area quickness and footwork to, you know, just to get some one cornerback to, you know, get a – I just don't feel like he can command a cornerback one and be, you know, kind of be one of those top targets. So that's why I didn't have the New England Patriots. I wouldn't want him to go there, for example. The Green Bay Packers or Baltimore Ravens. I already explained the Green Bay Packers situation. Baltimore, even if Lamar Jackson's there, you know, that's best case scenario for him. And we've seen Lamar Jackson struggle to maintain two consistent fantasy wide receivers, just being how run heavy the Baltimore offense typically is. So, you know, where do you see him landing? You know, do you have some favorites, least favorites for Jordan Addison?
Yeah, I mean, I've been banging the Ravens drum. It's not a good landing spot. It's probably a bad landing spot, I guess, but he's from Maryland. They're picking at 22. He's definitely within that range. They haven't addressed the receiver position enough, I feel like, in free agency and in this transition period. So I feel like they are live. Definitely like the Chargers you had mentioned. And then who was the other one? They pick after the Ravens. The Vikings. The Vikings, just peeping, I have Zay Flowers or Addison going there. Again, some a position that I feel like they're still going to be thirsty in. A position I do feel that they could continue to pursue during free agency, but it's definitely going to be addressed in the draft. So I could see Zay Flowers or Addison both going to the Vikings.
Vikings would be another very interesting landing spot. I like that. It would just be, you know, obviously Justin Jefferson, there's such a high target share there. But if Kirk Cousins definitely passes the ball, they know that's a pass heavy offense. They could definitely take on another wide receiver. That actually might open up, you know, that would open up the whole offense. Actually, I really like that one too. Next up, Zach Charbonnet. I have, you know, I have him probably going, you know, if I had to guess, probably somewhere in that back half of the second round, you know, at, you know, 40 to 60 range, somewhere in there. So, with that in mind, I had him, you know, some of the best landing spots, Atlanta Falcons, Miami Dolphins in the middle of the second round there, I think would be very exciting. You know, just it'd be impossible to dedicate any like run support with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the outside. So he'd be facing light boxes consistently. Atlanta Falcon loves to run the ball. He would be, you know, I don't know, him and Tyler Algier don't necessarily complement each other, but he does have a better talent profile than Tyler Algier.
Right.
Carolina Panthers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Chicago Bears as bad landing spots. You know, just sharing a backfield with Miles Sanders and a bad offense. Sharing a backfield with Rashad White and a questionable offense. Chicago Bears, Justin Fields, Khalil Herbert. You know, I just had, you know, I could see Chicago Bears adding a running, you know, that maybe not the most likely scenario, but you, like you said, you thought they maybe could take Bijan Robinson in the first. So I think, you know, they're a candidate to maybe take a running back in the second round. And although that would be a very exciting backfield for Chicago, I just don't love that for anybody's fantasy value, really. So,
yeah. I just think a lot of teams, they look at the Eagles and they see that that build as being, you know, pretty easy to obtain. Like, okay, first we need our, you know, our franchise quarterback. Check. We need to go out and target, you know, a top receiver for that franchise QB. Check. You know, A.J. Brown, D.J. Moore, et cetera, right? You know, I'm not going to call Darnell Mooney Devonta Smith, but you need somebody that can break open the field, right? You need somebody else behind your top playmaker. I feel like Darnell Mooney fits that 1B instead of being a 1A type of receiver, right? And then you just look at what they did with their running back room. You never knew who they were going to hit you with. Is it Boston Scott? Is it Gainwell? Is it Justin Fields? Is it Miles Sanders? I feel like a lot of teams are starting to see this and see how few dollars the Eagles spent on the running back position. And they're like, you know what? we can replicate this. And if you go out and you get a rookie in this draft, think about the discount you're getting these running backs at. Khalil Herbert's still on a rookie contract. Dante Foreman on a very friendly free agency contract. And then a stud rookie coming in. Like, it would definitely be a good situation for them, you know, being, you know, the leading, you know, rusher champion from last season.
Yeah, you know, I love, you know, looking at it, Chicago Bears and Philadelphia have great rushing offenses. But, you know, Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts are such large parts of that. Mm-hmm. I don't love it for a running back's fantasy value. Now, I know I know they're going to run the ball anyway, but it's just not my favorite landing spot for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just don't think it's a great idea for Chicago Bears to add a running back this early in the draft. You know, obviously Philadelphia, you know, they didn't spend significant draft capital on anybody besides Miles Sanders, and they hadn't done it that recently. So,
oh, yeah.
So that, you know, that was a few years back. So I think, you know, Chicago would be smart to grab one of these running backs in the third to fifth round, you know, continue add on, you know, there's a lot of,
I would love, he's not on the list, but I would love if we drafted JSN and then backed it up with, your boy Roschon Johnson later on. That would be fantastic.
That would be exciting. That would be wheels up for the whole Chicago offense. I would love that. I wouldn't love that for once again. That would kill my Roschon Johnson value. I don't know if I would like that actually, but yeah, as far as for your team, I would love that. Let me look here. Next up, I guess I should dive into some of the poor landing spots I had for Zach Charbonnet really quick. And that was the Carolina. Oh, no, I already did that. So, no, I'm sorry. Quentin Johnson. See, I'm on, you know, painkillers and all this stuff for my leg. You know what I mean?
Don't stab yourself.
Yes, kids. If you're dropping stuff, go into the kitchen. Just let it fall. Don't let knives get in your leg. So. It's been a tough week for me, so thanks for bearing with me, folks. Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, TCU. You know, I think he could end up being the top wide receiver selected in the draft just because of his profile. You know, being a tall, athletic guy, there's nobody else like him in the draft, especially the top six or seven wide receivers. All of them are a bit undersized, except for JSN, and JSN's not, you know, he's not a huge guy by any means like that. Mm-hmm. You know, he just fits that kind of, not necessarily, he's not Mike Evans, but, you know, kind of those bigger wide receiver guys. So I think, you know, he could end up being a target for New England, Chicago, in that range. But the best landing spots I had for him were Houston and New England. Same thing I had for JSN, just because I think he's going to get selected early. I just don't, there's just not a ton of great landing spots for him. But, you know, I think this could end up being a lot of even more growing pains than JSN, just because I don't think he's as developed as a receiver. Asking him to be a top target right away could end up being a little bit rough, but he does have that talent. You know, the talent is there to get into that role eventually. So I had the Houston, New England, where he could get a high target share initially, as good spots. Tennessee, Chicago, Green Bay. You know, I feel like I'm always hitting on the same guys, but yeah, mm-hmm. You know, all of the, I just question whether he could be fantasy viable consistently for any of these offenses, considering the kind of low volume passing offenses with, you know, unproven passing quarterbacks. So that, you know, that's where I see him sliding in, probably in that 10 to 20 range as well. How do you feel about that?
I had circled the Patriots. It felt like that they have been hungry for that type of profile. They've been trying to get DeAndre Hopkins. It doesn't feel like they've had any luck with that. So it seems like that's what they're looking for, a big body profile type of receiver right now. Obviously, they just brought in Juju to come out of the slot. So I think that they are looking for that outside big body X receiver. But I'm going to go with a wide receiver U. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe they're at pick 15, replacing Chase Claypool. Obviously, they got back a second round pick for him. I could see them maybe bumping, you know, Deontay Johnson to more of the inside type of you know, target share coming out of the slot. Let George Pickens and Quentin Johnson really open up things on the outside and help Kenny Pickett progress in year two.
And that would be so on brand for the Steelers, and I would hate it. I would absolutely hate it. You know, that would be on brand. The Steelers just continuing just to stack wide receivers and ruin all their fantasy value in a low volume.
Doing it the best of anybody, you know what I mean? Just that's how they do.
But yeah, I would hate it for everybody's fantasy. If I would tank everybody's fantasy value, that would be awful
Think it would be wheels up for
Kenny
DJ.
Pickett.
Yeah, definitely for Kenny Pickett. But I, you know, again, that also fits the mold of just building around your quarterback.
Like, if it's wheels up for DJ, then that really is everybody else in that offense is then nothing. I think, you know, that would be horrible. That would be a disaster. You're painting a disaster in my mind. So I hope that's not the case. I've drafted too much Deontay Johnson for that.
You
to don't, be the case.
You think he would be better though in New England? Like, you think he put up better stats than he would in Pittsburgh?
Well, no, I'm thinking of the cataclysm of everything else around him. You know, the fallout of Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, you know, and all this. You. So
there would definitely be a George Pickens fallout. That's a fact.
There's no, like in New England, he's not crashing anybody's party. You know what I mean? No, there's no big Juju Smith-Schuster parties. You know what I mean? Or Hunter Henry.
You're not going to the Juju Smith-Schuster party? What?
It would probably be a fun party.
It's going to be all over TikTok.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. You know, there's a lot of dancing going on. That'd be fun. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just see him going to those places like Houston. You know, Houston, he's not ruining anybody's fantasy value. In Houston, he can slide right in. Nobody's depending on.
You know, GMs are here to ruin our fantasy fun.
That's true. So they don't listen to us. So I won't factor that in, but we'll see what happens. Zay Flowers next up here. Mm-hmm. You know what? I actually, before we talk about Zay Flowers, I just want to tell the folks about these, you know, these best ball drafts that we end up doing. And we're talking about on Underdog Fantasy. The Underdog Fantasy is heating up at the moment for March Madness 2. College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, folks, and that's our little mini break. For those maybe listening on the Apple Podcast or Spotify, you maybe just got a little fun little local ad. So with that, we will dive right back into these rookie landing spots. Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College. I loved what you said earlier, kind of spitting in that kind of Minnesota Vikings, I think, would be a great spot for him. Los Angeles Chargers, New York Giants, all spots he wouldn't have to necessarily be the wide receiver or top target right away. You know, Darren Waller in New York, but could, you know, he's just an exciting player, you know, dynamic athlete. So I really like Zay Flowers. I just don't know, you know, just like so many of these guys in this class, you know, at that size profile, seem a little bit more of a gadget, you know, better for NFL value than he is for actual fantasy football value. And that's my concern for a lot of these wide receivers, but those would be some of my favorite landing spots, least favorite landing spots, Baltimore Ravens, Los Angeles Rams, Indianapolis Colts. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much echo the same thing for the landing spots, the Vikings, the Chargers. Did we say the Cowboys?
I did not say the Cowboys, but so I would like that too.
I think Brandon Cooks would be a good mentor to Zay Flowers. They just brought him in, gave up a couple of draft picks to acquire Brandon Cooks. So I would like that because it feels like they're going to be a very pass heavy offense. I think he would be a good weapon there. But again, I feel like him or even Jordan Addison, they're kind of interchangeable, you know, given their skill sets and where they're going to be going off the board. Bad landing spots. Yeah. Anywhere where someone can't throw to the slot.
I had the Baltimore Ravens just because, you know, just even with Lamar Jackson. Yeah, just run heavy, Rashad Bateman on the outside.
You had mentioned the Giants too. Like, I don't like the Giants. They have a very full room right now. They brought back Sterling Shepard. They signed Paris Campbell. They have Isaiah Hodgins.
It's literally a full room, but it's not like, you know, there's nobody intimidating in that room.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, like, there's just a lot of mouths to feed, and you don't have a pass first quarterback. You have, you know what I mean? Like, or a pass first offense, let alone. Who else did they sign? They signed Jameson Crowder. Like, dude, they won't stop. They won't stop.
None of these guys are just like, you know, they all play the same position. They're not
I know. What are they doing? What are they doing? Stop it. Leave some receivers for the rest of us.
I mean, they had nothing last year, so they need to go more the quality over quantity is what they need to do.
Apparently so.
The next rookie I had up here was Devon Achane. So I love this guy, you know, despite his size, you know, I think he could, you know, he's only about 5'9", you know, 180 something pounds, but you know, he just runs different. You know, you expect to want to criticize his running up the middle, you know, his short line work, but you know, he's an aggressive, you know, he powers over people. Actually, I really like, you know, him. I don't think he's going to get it 20 touches, you know, same in Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think he's going to excel in a 20 touch per game role or anything like that. But I do think 10 to 15 touches a game. He does have some PPR upside. Best landing spots, Miami Dolphins, Tennessee Titans, and Arizona Cardinals. I actually thought he could succeed in Tennessee, just being complimenting off Derrick Henry in a very run-heavy offense. I think he could definitely do that, actually. You know, he could come out of the backfield catching passes. Same thing in Miami. Wouldn't be asked to carry a heavy workload with all those running backs. Could just be excel at what he does best. Arizona Cardinals too, once that offense gets humming with Kyler Murray coming back, recovering. So loved all those spots. Worst landing spots, Washington Commanders, Chicago Bears, Los Angeles Rams. Just spots where I see, you know, a crowded backfield with not a lot of offensive success to, you know, with for multiple running backs to be fantasy viable. So that's just my thought process behind that. Chicago Bears might be the exception there. The offense could be humming, but there's just that, you know, you have Justin Fields, Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman. That's just, you know, that's an exciting backfield. Once again, not great for fantasy, though.
I agree. So I had the Cardinals down. They were my top pick. I think that he would be a very good 1B to James Conner. I think that they would use him in a lot of gadgetry type of roles, like you had mentioned, come up with some creative ways to get the ball in his hands. If you're going to be nursing in, you know, a bridge quarterback with Kyler Murray gone, I think, like, you know, that type of profile and that type of asset will be important to protect the passing game and to come up with creative, you know, ways to get chunk plays. Bad landing spot, I'll be lazy again and go back with the Jags. Like, anywhere again, it's just really simple. If it's crowded, like, you're obviously going to say stock is down. It's not as good of a fruitful opportunity.
Yeah, you know, and the Jags are another team, you know, it doesn't make sense, but, you know, it kind of does for, like, for when we think about what NFL teams does.
Kind of like a Doug Peterson type of guy, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you know, it, exactly, you know, and these teams, like, aren't drafting for fantasy purposes, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I could see them adding someone like Devon Achane in this third round or something like that, and it's just like, what? No. So, I think, and then, you know, Travis Etienne, that would obviously not, you know, I think that would limit, obviously, his passing game role. So, you know what I mean? That
he wasn't used a ton in the past.
No, that's what I mean. He's never gotten it. So
super peculiar. Super.
It would be the nail in the coffin. So it's interesting, you know, so all these landing spots, I'm sure they will vastly affect our fantasy football rookie rankings, which we will be discussing plenty over this month. Justin, you working on anything this week? When's the podcast with Andrew?
We got one Tuesday evening with Mr. Michael Florio of the NFL Network.
Ooh. And that's a big guest. That's fun.
That is. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a ton of fun. It's a Heroes Week on the Heroes and Villains podcast. And on Thursday, we have Pete Overset of the Establish the Run brand coming on to do a draft with us. So we're going to do a best ball draft on Thursday.
I like the Establish the Run as well with Adam Leviton and everything. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's a great group of guys too. So yeah, that'll be great. And you got a star studded lineup coming in this week. That's a lot of fun. Be checking out SGPN for all of that stuff.
Yes, sir.
I'll be back here next Sunday talking fantasy football. You know, I release, you know, articles all over, you know, on my, you know, TWSN, SGPN, Player Profiler. I do a podcast for the Fantasy Football Face-Off Network as well. So you can keep a look out for all of that. Thank you for joining me, everybody. Thank you, Justin, for having me. Or, you know, I'm other way around. See, you know, I see this is what's happening this week. I'm done. I need to go nurse this knife wound in my leg. I'm losing it. I didn't get sleep last night. So this is probably a great time for me to go ahead and sign off. Thank you, everybody, and have a great rest of your weekend.
See you guys.